This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Monday, March 25th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
On March 6th, a drug appraisal committee of Britain's National Institute for Health and Care Excellence met in Manchester, England for the third and final time. This was to decide whether to recommend Spinraza for the treatment of SMA. There were several hundred demonstrators organized by Treat SMA. They were protesting on the steps of NICE's headquarters before the meeting. Treat SMA said on their website that SMA is a cruel disease that puts an immense burden on families. Spinraza is an incredibly effective drug that greatly reduces the burden. The future of treating SMA in England now relied on the committee's decision. They are aware that NICE might wish to exclude some people with SMA from accessing the treatment. There was a draft recommendation issued last September against adding Spinraza to the subsidized public health system of England and Wales. This was because of its extremely high cost. At that time, the committee had concluded that, based on its list price, Spinraza's annual cost effectiveness ranged between £400,000 and £600,000 per quality adjusted life year gained. According to the National Health Service, it would not be a cost-effective use of resources. This being said, Treat SMA will stand united to keep representing everyone's voice. Doug Henderson is Managing Director at SMA UK. He said that the Manchester meeting is the final piece of the puzzle. Since Spinraza hasn't been rejected yet, they still have enough information provided by Biogen to give it a green light. He estimated that a final decision would be announced 4 to 5 weeks later. But still disappointing, because ultimately it's a death sentence for kids if they can't get something in the end. Anywhere from 800 to 1400 people in Britain are living with the disease at any given time, and around 70 new patients are being diagnosed annually. Biogen did run an expanded access program. This enabled patients to obtain the expensive drug for free, but it closed in November. It left only 80 or so patients benefiting from it. In Scotland, Spinraza will now be refunded retroactively. However, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland are still waiting. There is hope that England looks at the Scottish scheme and copies it, because it is what's needed for rare diseases. Kaspar Ruszynski is founder of Poland's SMA Foundation and also a board member of SMA Europe. He expects Britain to recommend reimbursement of Spinraza for SMA types 2 and 3. He said type 1 support is unknown. This is because, statistically, those cases are not as cost-effective. Last December, Poland's Ministry of Health approved reimbursement of Spinraza. However, it was only after a long fight that involved an intense media campaign and an online petition organized by Ruszynski's foundation. Presently, 24 out of the European Union's 28 member nations have now agreed to reimburse for Spinraza. The remaining holdouts are Estonia, Ireland, Latvia, and the United Kingdom. In Poland, the health minister makes the final decision. In the UK, the health technology assessment determines if the drug will be reimbursed or not. They do a precise analysis of trial data by calculating cost effectiveness using quality adjusted life years. Inevitably, there is still not enough long-term data. Combine this with a very high price, and they find it hard to recommend use of the drug. England's position is that they don't provide treatments that aren't cost-effective. Meanwhile, protests over SMA reimbursement have also broken out in Ireland. However, they are unrelated to the ongoing deliberations in Britain. Anton Mannering is Irish, and his 11-year-old son Jordan has SMA type 2. He claims Irish politicians don't understand what the problem is. He says the government has tried to take itself out of the process so they can say it's not their responsibility. Mannering helped organize Ireland's first SMA-related protest last September. It took place in Dublin at Irish Parliament. On Rare Disease Day on February 28th, they held an even bigger rally that attracted more than 300 people. On February 21st, the Irish government's health services executive sent a letter to Mannering's group. It said that at the current price, they would not reimburse Spinraza. And that price was about €600,000 per patient for the first year and €380,000 per year thereafter. The estimated budget impact was in excess of 20 million euros over a five-year period. However, a Biogen official confirmed in a March 1st letter to Mannering that the figures quoted are 6 months out of date. But due to the confidential nature of ongoing negotiations, Biogen cannot further comment on pricing. Mannering suspects that the Irish government officials are being selective with the truth. He said, quote, "It may be that for commercial reasons, Biogen wants to officially keep the price at 600,000 euros, but we believe that the effective cost on a per-patient basis would be at least 50% of that. This is based on conversations I've had with other people at SMA Europe. I find it very unlikely that a pharmaceutical company would say something like that about numbers coming from a government agency if it wasn't true. It would be completely against their interest to do so." End quote. Ireland is home to an estimated 70 people with SMA. It has one of the highest per capita incomes in Europe, and according to the World Economic Forum, the eighth best performing economy worldwide. Yet it refuses to reimburse for Spinraza, even when much poorer EU members, such as Poland, have agreed to do it. Furthermore, the new children's hospital in Dublin will cost over $2 billion, making it the most expensive hospital in the world. And in Ireland, it's currently a national scandal.
Coming up next, I'll share one of my perspectives with you.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
One of my co-workers, Kevin Schaefer, did a perspective piece for the flash briefing on Friday, March 22nd. In his perspective, he talked about some of the crazy things that have happened to him in his life with regards to his ability to use humor in sometimes odd and uncomfortable situations. Kevin spoke about the answer that he gave a stranger when the stranger asked him did he ever hope to be able to get out of his wheelchair one day. It's crazy questions like this that we've all been asked, and I thought I would share a story with you that I think you'll find enjoyable and somewhat comical. When I was in college, I joined a fraternity by the name of Alpha Kappa Psi. AK Psi was a co-ed business fraternity, but don't let the words business fraternity make you think that we all sat around in shirts and ties and discussed world domination. On the contrary, our little business fraternity had keg parties that would shame most of the social fraternities on campus. Since it was a co-ed fraternity, it wasn't a bunch of guys sitting around and belching while they drank beer. Our fraternity had a great mix of men and women, and while we did quite a few community outreach programs to help those that were less fortunate than we were, we also had a great time just hanging out. Every Saturday, quite a few of us would meet in downtown Dallas at a place called the West End. This was basically a street that was littered with restaurants and clubs, catering to those who liked to listen to good music and drink some outstanding beer. This is where my story begins. I'm not going to be able to quote you the exact date as to when this happened, but just know that it was on a Saturday evening in the summer of 1989. Yes, I know that I'm old. It's hard to believe that I've been out of college for nearly 30 years. That evening, we all decided to meet at a restaurant called Dick's Last Resort. This was a club that was more like a bar atmosphere with live music. You never knew who was going to be playing until you showed up, but everyone who went knew that they were going to be able to eat and drink and be merry. The unfortunate thing about Dick's Last Resort was at that time, the Americans with Disabilities Act really had not taken over, and some of the clubs didn't have ramps for those of us that were in wheelchairs. This wasn't necessarily a big problem for me, because a few of the guys that were in my fraternity were ex-military, and they were chiseled like Greek gods. There was always a guard outside of Dick's Last Resort whose responsibility was to sit there and make sure that no fights broke out on the street and to make sure that you were not too inebriated when you left the club to go back to your car. Since he never moved from that location, we asked him one evening would he be able to watch my wheelchair if my friends carried me into the club. He always told us that he would, and I even told him that if he ever felt like sitting down, he was more than welcome to do so in my wheelchair. Let's face it, who's going to steal a $30,000 wheelchair while a cop is sitting in it? My friends would carry me into the bar, and since we were regulars, The bartender always reserved the corner of the bar for me and my friends. After setting me on the corner bar stool, all of my friends sat to my left. This was our normal spot on Saturday evenings, but this particular Saturday evening would be anything but normal. After we had been there for about 5 minutes, a gentleman came up and sat on my right-hand side. As he leaned on the bar, he looked at me and just stared. Kevin, in his perspective piece, talked about his spidey senses, that sense that he got when someone was about to ask him a stupid question. Well, I guess all of us with SMA have spidey senses, because my radar was going off, telling me that stupidity was about to open its mouth. After he stared at me for about 20 seconds, I turned around and just stared back at him. Just looking at him, I already knew that he was three sheets to the wind, and apparently he had been at the bar for a few hours before we got there. After we stared at each other for about 10 seconds, he finally opened his mouth and told me that he noticed that my friends carried me into the bar and wanted to know what was wrong with me. Usually, if someone asks me why I'm handicapped, I tell them that I have spinal muscular atrophy and this is the way that I've been all of my life. Very rarely do I joke around, but tonight offered me a chance to not only showcase my comical side, it also gave me a chance to mess with this guy's mind. Hey, it was something to do on a Saturday evening. With my friends listening, I looked at the gentleman and I told him that the reason why I was in a wheelchair was because of an old football injury. Now, imagine trying to keep a straight face while telling this story, knowing that your friends are laughing so hard that they're literally falling off of their bar stools. This was going to be a tough task, but I was up for it. After telling him that it was an old football injury, he asked me what school I went to. I was about 6 months away from graduation, so I already had my senior ring. This large hunk of 18-karat gold with a diamond in the middle of it was hard to miss. I told him that I played for the University of Texas, and I showed him my ring. I knew that he was probably too drunk to read the lettering on the ring itself, so I felt safe that my story would live on. He then asked me what position I played. Now mind you, my friends are laughing so hard that a few of the guys that I talked about who were ex-military are crying now because they're laughing so hard. I looked at the guy and I told him that I was a defensive guard. Anybody who would believe that this little bitty tiny guy like myself, who weighed probably 140 pounds dripping wet, would ever be a defensive guard. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, this guy, he fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Within a matter of 45 minutes, the guy ended up buying me 2 beers, and my friends heard a story that they will probably still remember to this day. The majority of those of us who have SMA have to have a sense of humor. Without a sense of humor, especially when talking about our disease, we could very easily fall into self-pity and depression. I think the one thing you'll find is that those of us who have SMA have the ability to take an uncomfortable position and not only use it as a teaching experience, we can also use it to our advantage by adding humor to an already uncomfortable topic. The moral of my story that I told you about earlier is to never, ever, under any circumstance, use your handicap to your advantage. Yeah, unless you can get a few beers out of it, then take advantage of every situation that's presented to you. The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multi-Channel Content Director.